We would like to believe that women, after all of these years, are treated equally in politics. But as we know, that is just not the case. A recent Detroit News column by writer Laura Berman has some post-primary examples of what she calls a continuing snark campaign that happens when women candidates run. Hi, Laura.
Hello, Cynthia.
Good to have you back. Good. And good. Also with us, we welcome back to Stateside State Senator Rebecca Warren, Democrat from the 18th District in Ann Arbor. So good to have you back with us, Senator.
Well, so good to be back.
We all read, Laura, your recent Detroit News column. It was titled, Candidate Might Dispute Notion That It Helps to Be Female. Are there some who truly think it helps to be a woman in politics?
Well, yes, I think, you know, there's a gender gap, but there are more women who vote. And more women in the population generally. So there's an idea that it helps to be a woman, especially in districts where there's a lot of female voters. But what the column was really about was how there's this sort of subtle undermining that goes on throughout a campaign. And it really hasn't changed over the years very much, I don't think. I'm really interested in what Rebecca Warren has to say about that.
Well,
she would know firsthand.
I definitely think it's fascinating, and there's actually a new group of folks who've put together a campaign to help talk to journalists about how they cover political campaigns. And I think many of us, this was brought sort of to light when Hillary Clinton was first running for president many years ago, and a lot of the reporting would be focused on what she was wearing. Did she look tired? Did she look puffy? What was she eating? And you know, the guys standing next to her in dark suits and red ties or dark suits and blue ties were not getting column inches written about what they were wearing or what they looked like. And so I think as women candidates, you come first with this, sort of as you so eloquently described, Laura, this, you have to start from a place where people are going to look at what you wear, what you say, how you dress, how you, you know, approach things before they even ask you how you feel about an issue that might be very important in your community.
And I know as a writer, sometimes I'm aware of doing that because you know that that's what people ask you. So I think it reflects, so often journalists are, you know, mirrors, and it reflects really embedded attitudes that people have about women and the way that they look at them when they are in public life. And it's very hard to get away from it. So I still think it's worth pointing out when journalists do this, because I think it makes everybody think about the way they think.
And in your column, Laura, I want you to recap for us, first of all, the anecdote about Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, who, as you point out, beat three men, to get the chance to run in November. Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I had a conversation after the election with her communications director, and he just said he was stunned by how different it was to work on a campaign with a woman. That, you know, he'd worked for Dennis Archer, he'd worked for many other politicians, but he said he'd never worked for a female candidate before, and it was very different in terms of the way that she was talked about, observed, and it gave him a completely different perspective than he'd ever had before.
I know he told you that after a party breakfast the day after the primary, that an official came up to Lawrence and suggested he'd supported the wrong candidate, and he said, if there's anything we can do, a massage, a foot rub, whatever.
Right.
Rebecca, does that resonate with you? Can you go, oh, yeah.
It was his joke. You know, he was a young guy, and he was making a joke, but still.
Well, I always use a little anecdote that people who know me know I'm a pretty down-to-earth, approachable person. I'm very inclined to say, call me Rebecca. You don't need to call me Senator. But to be in a room with a group of my colleagues and it to be Senator, 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 and Rebecca when all the rest of them are male and I'm female, then you notice that it's almost, I want people to feel that I'm approachable and I want to be treated just like everybody else. But if you're calling everyone else in the room by their title, to call the only woman elected in the room by her first name shows a difference in the way that you approach them. And frankly, I think it's a respect issue.
And then, Laura, you look at Debbie Dingell, who is going to be, as you say, hobbled with this whole thing of reporters asking, will your husband appear in a commercial with you? And I love the fact...
the day after she wins the election, that's all the interview was about, was John Dingell. And, you know, John Dingell inherited his seat from his father. I mean, he grew up in Washington, and he basically is part of a political dynasty. So it's kind of funny to see, you know, that she, I wonder if anyone ever thought of it quite the same way as she's been treated. But it was strange that it was just brought up again and again that John Dingell, was she going to be in a commercial with her husband? You know, what was his role going to be? It just was kind of strange.
And you do point that one of the local newscast uses this tease. Debbie Dingell says she's ready to stand on her own two feet. And I love the way you put that, Laura Berman. The dripping condensation of that headline is noticeable. Rebecca Warren, what are your thoughts? I'm wondering, have you seen the biggest offenders in this to be legislative colleagues, constituents, or media?
I think in all honesty, the media coverage is hard, and one of the roles that I play right now for my caucus is I'm the campaign chair. So part of my job has been to recruit the candidates that we want to run, you know, for the 2014 election, and had so many amazingly talented women that I went to meet with who had fabulous resumes, were doing amazing things in their own field, and were mothers, were caretakers of aging parents, were juggling a lot of things, so you knew they were capable of doing a job like this incredibly well. And to have them point specifically to the way that they've seen other women elected be treated is a reason why they would not put themselves out there. It's really made a difference. And you know, the term on this experiment was sold to voters all across the country, but especially here in Michigan, as you know, many of our incumbents were older white men, and if you had term limits and they needed to go, you would pave the way for more women and more candidates of color to take those seats. And what we've seen is the exact opposite. We have less women and less people of color serving in the Michigan legislature now than before. And a lot of it really is, I think, due to the fact that women especially just don't want to run in this atmosphere. It's very difficult to get them to run.
Right. And then you have situations like the one Senate district where there were two women and one man, and Vince Gregory won that election, maybe splitting, you know, the women split their vote probably.
And it was pretty much down the middle, a third, a third, a third, those three candidates. So I think you're right. If any one of those candidates had not been in the race, it would have been completely a different outcome, I believe.
But right now we have 18.9% of the state legislature is women. I just looked up those numbers, and that's 36th out of 50 state legislatures. That's where Michigan ranks. So very low.
And I'm one of four women right now in the entire Michigan Senate. It's a number that has not been that low really since the 1980s in this state. And one of the four of us is term limited. So there is the chance in 2015, come January, if none of our candidates that are running now win in their generals, we'll actually only have three women in the Michigan Senate. And what that means for somebody like me, I serve on eight legislative committees, and then all but one, I'm the only woman. And I think we all know from different aspects of our life that conversations really change when women's voices are at the table. Just the way that we look at things and the issues that we will bring up that our male counterparts won't necessarily. So already in seven out of eight committees, I serve alone in terms of gender balance. It could get even worse than that in January.
What might it take for us to realize a day when dripping condensation and snark are not aimed at female candidates and women who hold political office, where we aren't hearing network news people or even worse, internet bloggers, talking about what Hillary Clinton's wearing in her pantsuits, or the bloggers will talk about cankles. I mean, they're not doing that to the men. Well, Chris Christie's getting some of that, but will we see a day?
It's a tough game, politics, and it's always been. And, you know, whatever tactics work get used. But I think that there has to be some decision that it's really important to have women's voices at the table. With 18.9%, you don't have a strong enough voice to really be heard. And, you know, there's a lot of research that looks at corporate boards, for example, that there's sort of a tipping point when you get to a third. And I think that's something that that really ought to be, that people ought to strive for.
And I think I hear Senator Warren saying it is good to bring your role as a woman. We aren't looking to have everybody gender neutral when we're sitting at the table and talking policy and making decisions. Did I hear you say that kind of as an undertone?
I think this is not just about politics. I think Laura's connection of this to the business world is really important, too. You know, there's a lot of studies that talk about leadership styles, and the leadership styles for transformational leadership, which tends to be used by women more than men, but it's certainly a gender neutral sort of philosophy, but it's a philosophy that brings people along with you. It's less hierarchical. It's more consensus building and bringing people to the end result that you believe is the best. And I have seen in my, you know, I've been working in Lansing for 22 years now and watching women leaders really often be the ones who can find a solution when things are really tough. You know, people look back to the Great Lakes Compact and the fact that the picture that people see of that legislation being signed into law was myself when I was a state representative, my counterpart, Senator Patty Buchholz, and Governor Jennifer Granholm. A contentious issue for 10 years couldn't get solved, and three women got to the table and got it done.
I guess, what do you think we will see going forward? You kind of did shine a pretty bright light on this attitude. What do you think we might see going forward into the November election after you kind of called folks out on this, Laura?
Well, I think any time there's anything that points out, you know, this kind of behavior, you hope that people are a little more thoughtful about it. And I think people think they are. So looking for a huge, I don't think journalism can, you know, create huge transformation with one column. But I think it's a continuing thing. And I always look back at Debbie Stabenow's first campaign for Senate when she was behind. And she was really getting beat up with a very unpleasant advertising and so on. And I remember that at that time I wrote a column saying, you know, stand up and fight. And she did kill her first advertising campaign and got much more aggressive and tough and just stood up to it. And I think that made in the end, that made a huge difference. So I think women need to be, you know, have courage and fight on.
And your thoughts, Rebecca?
Well, I think that, you know, Laura pointing out the research that shows when you get about a third of a governing body, you know, of especially of an underrepresented constituency, of women as a gender, that you really can start to change things. And I think that that focus and putting that out there, I think, to a lot of folks who are interested in good governance and good outcomes for the citizens of Michigan to say, this having, you know, four or going down to three out of 38 women in the Senate is just not going to get what we want in terms of results for the state. You get more gridlock, you get more partisanship, you get less results. And it has to be a focus for us because we, you know, as we were talking about before the show, there are big issues facing Michigan right now, including how are we going to fix our roads and bridges and critical infrastructure? And we've been trying to figure this out for a long time. Let's put more women's heads around the table and try to get that done.
State Senator Rebecca Warren, Democrat from Ann Arbor, the 18th District, and Detroit News columnist Laura Berman, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much.